The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
One of the recurring feelings or themes in my life today, this week, that comes out of this practice is has to do with or comes out of a feeling of tenderness that I feel from this practice. And it's a feeling of the preciousness of our lives, the specialness of being alive and present. The image I have of it is kind of an image of everyone has a tender heart somewhere underneath the hard crusts, maybe some people have, and that tender heart that we all have is such a precious thing and valuable thing. And if we can get somehow, feel it or intuit or something, you know, you can't help but to love people somehow, that tenderness. When I was a new practitioner, I felt that the meditation practice was kind of like a tenderizer, I've never done this, I don't know quite how it works, but you tenderize meat apparently. I guess meat is hard maybe, and you put some thing on it called tenderizer and then it gets soft. So I thought of meditation practice as the tenderizer of my heart, and all the crust of something, that hardness of my heart would, you know, get softer in the process. And that process still goes on, and this week feeling very grateful to have this practice has a lot to do with coming into a kind of a feeling of tenderness. And the image I have of how that I connect that to the people I encounter in the world I see is a practice that I've like to do, especially in crowded places like airports. You know, airports, a lot of people are kind of preoccupied and busy, and there isn't like a lot of happiness at airports. There's some, but that's one of the few places where I like to just sit back and watch people, and if I have time, and I do this act of imagination. I imagine, what their eyes and face would look like if they're sitting around a dinner table with close, warm, loving family. What would it be like if they were, I hope that they grew up, and maybe when they were five or something, maybe they sat around, you know, a dinner table or a breakfast table, and you know, their parents had unconditional love for them and care for them, and what they would look like then, and how they would be. Sometimes I see these stern faces, you know, people walking by, or frazzled faces, or, you know, worried faces, and they go by, and I'd kind of look at that face, and I'd kind of imagine what that face would look like in that dinner table, and the setting, and the warmth, and the kindness, and sometimes some people seem mean, and the mean people, I can imagine, yes, probably there was a time when someone loved them, a time that something tenderized them, and saw them through their eyes of, you know, maybe their parents, or relative, or an uncle, or a grandparent, or something. And how that, you know, would touch them in some deep way. So that act of imagination kind of, you know, this tenderizing, softening effect then spreads out. And I feel it's kind of like we have this shared tenderness. We have this shared softness and love or sweetness. And it's kind of feels very special to feel it's shared, and how we are just kind of like the bridge between us all. And how this practice is a tenderizer, it's one way or the other, it's different ways in which this happens, that it does, in fact, soften the crust of the heart, the resistance or the closeness or the things we overlay on top of our tenderness, the strong, some people have a lot of aversion, and some people have a lot of hurt and they close down, and some people have a lot of strong desires, trying to do something, get something, that somehow disconnects them from something really precious, really valuable, how to be here. And so this very simple movement in meditation practice of coming into the present moment, coming here, being here, coming back here, just really being here, it can seem, you know, you go to some wonderful party with some of the most brilliant people in the world, and they say, "What do you do?" "Oh, I just keep coming back to being here, here." And they said, and I once had, was asked, there was a presidential candidate some years ago, Denis Kucinich, I think, his name. And so he was invited to have dinner at a friend of mine's house up in, it's kind of far from here. And I was asked to come and join and do a little blessing or prayer at the dinner. You know, that's great. I've been to her house before, and the dinner table's not that big. And so I thought it would be nice. And so I went, and didn't know quite what to expect. Well, she has kind of a big yard, and the big yard was filled with tables. It was like a political event. You know, all these people, you know, that I had no, you know, it wasn't my image of it. And sure enough, this Denis Kucinich came and sat down next to me. That's kind of interesting. But I saw how busy he was, and everybody wants something from him or talk to him. So I said, I'll just leave him alone. I didn't want anything from him. I'll just leave him alone. That'd be the best thing for him, probably. And if he wants to say something, he can. And after a few minutes, he got up and found someone else to sit with. Because he was there to make connections, right? He's a busy man, and, if I wasn't going to do anything for him, then, that's not what he was there for. So all this desire and wanting and doing and, just to come and just be and be present. There's places where you're going to go, and that's not going to get you much traction. But it's the best thing. It's one of the best things going. And to be able to meet people and in that place, or tune into that tenderness, or share it with people and care for people, and to slow down enough to not always be ahead of yourself with all the things to do or protect yourself from, or and to really be able to sit there and be available to share and connect and love people. What could be better? What could be, than just having the capacity to be present, to love people? And so I think this practice has a lot to do with that. So yes, go to your great dinner parties. I just come back to here. I come back to here. And then maybe one day you'll say that to someone and they'll look at you and say, "I do that too." And it's like suddenly there's like depth. Suddenly, like, that's richness, it's fullness. Wow. There's a lot going on here, isn't there? Oh, yeah. I wish the people who are doing all the chatting and whatever they're doing, I wish they could appreciate how deep it is, this moment. And maybe we don't talk much together. We just be here. So I'll tell you a story as an ending of this building here. We bought it in 2001. And 2001, so it was in the beginning of January or something, or April or something of 2000, I got a phone call, and this woman, who was kind of connected to our group, said that these two ministers, Christian ministers, were interested in selling their church to you, because they're kind of mystical Christians, and they sit in silence. And they want to pass the church on to people who sit in silence. And we sit in silence. So I said, "Great, I'm happy to meet with them." And they said, basically we got the message, "Don't call us, we'll call you." So okay, so I waited. So about 9 months later, in January of 2001, that this is a long time to wait. And I said, "Well, we had a use for some facilities for some event. So maybe we can rent the place, and that's a catalyst to make the connection with them." And so I called them up, and they basically said the same thing, but they said, "Well, let's have a phone call." So first the wife called me. She's both ministers, and they're all elderly, and I had a lovely hour talk with her. And then it's okay, so next day I'm going to talk to the husband. And we had a lovely talk. By the time I was finished these two phone call conversations, we were like best friends. Like they were so, it was so warm and so wonderful that they had this capacity for warmth and delight and generosity, and phone call like that was just such a pleasure to be part of. And so, yeah, we'll show it to you, you know, so you can see, but don't call us, we'll call you. And you see, there were three parties in the discussion. There was them, there was us, and there was God. And one of those parties was really slow. And I can't tell you which one. But I know that they didn't do anything unless they sat in silence and they got the message from God somehow. So it was one of the parties was slow. But that was really great for us. It was kind of a real benefit for us that we could do this slowly. We weren't in a hurry. And real estate was being sold really quick back then, which wasn't a mindful way to do it. So this year and a half process was... That was a good pace. So this is the reason I'm telling you the story. So then finally in, I think it was in September, or October, September maybe, they finally invited us to come and see this place. So we had never been inside. And I came early to meet with them. I had about an hour with them, just them, the couple and myself. And as you see, this place is not very big. So they gave me a tour. And the first thing when we came in, and we talked, and we had a lot to talk about, and we talked. But then as we continued through the tour and the conversation, we'd have gaps in the conversation, pauses. And those pauses got longer and longer and longer. And there were all these pews here, being a church, lined up here like this. And so at some point we came back to this sanctuary, and we sat down at the front pews, and three of us there. And then one of those pauses in the conversation occurred. And we sat in silence for maybe 15, 20 minutes. It was so special to be with them in silence. I mean, this deep, deep spirituality they had. And then at some point, people from our community started coming in to see the place too, and so we got up from the pews to greet them, and then I went over to them and I whispered, "Someday we'll have to continue where we left off." Meaning in the silence. And so this ability to learn, the difficult task to learn, how to come back and be here, come back and be here, come back and be here with whatever is here, opens us, tenderizing, opens connections, opens possibilities, and the kind of sharing that can happen between people that can be so profound, especially if they have any kind of sharing of that ability. It's some of the best thing going. So may this practice, may you allow and give the time for this practice to tenderize you, tenderize your heart, so that you can appreciate the soft, good heart of other people as well. Thank you.